The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Third on Your Questions, episode 349. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
People, how's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
It's a free Sunday.
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
What's going on? What's going on? All right, before we start, I need a little bit of, clear some things here. So, Carlos, you're going to tell us a story about Ghost of Tsushima, man. What's going on with that game?
So I finished Ghost of Tsushima, and nice. I'm like, oh, it's a pretty cool game. You know, I like the ending, even though, some of the things, I can't really speak about it because I don't want to spoil it. But, I'm like, I'm going to go for the platinum. I played through the campaign. I did a lot of grinding, you know, just to get to the end. And I'm like, I shouldn't be too far away from a platinum. And I finish the game, I go back to the map, and there's like a million things that are in the freaking map. And I'm like, God damn it. This is going to take me forever. And 10 plus hours after I beat the campaign, I'm still going through the fight. And I mean, I talked to Tony about it. I think I talked to Tony about it, and he's like, what's it called? The Assassin's Creed Platinums are like 150 plus hours, so...
Yeah, when I got the platinum for Ghost of Tsushima, like, oh, that was mercifully short. It was like literally 80 hours. That's short compared to some of these other platinums, you know?
The Ghost of Tsushima platinum is not nearly as grindy as a lot of the Assassin's Creed ones. I feel like there's a lot more variety in the sorts of things that you end up doing, so it doesn't seem like you're doing it. At least for me, when I was working toward it, I did all those missions while I was playing the game. That's why it took me so damn long to complete it. Because I wasn't, I didn't just beat the game and then come back in. I just beat everything and then beat the game. One and done.
Yeah, that's how you usually play it. You always like try to just do everything and then do the final mission when everything else is complete.
Yep.
With me, I just try to do as much of the main story and side mission as possible. And then the side stuff, like collectibles, I'll save that for afterwards, you know? Because my thing is, like, when I'm near the end of the game, I'm like, that's when I really rush it, you know? I always save the collectibles till afterwards. Unless, like, collectible gives you something you kind of need, I kind of just save that for afterwards, you know? Because it also sucks, like, you beat the game, you're like... You know, and if the game's especially good, you're like, I want to squeeze a little more out of this. That's where collectibles come in. Then when you do the collectible, you get the platinum. Then you're like, ah, now I'm finished. You know, and it feels great.
And then the DLC comes out.
Oh, yeah. And then everything. Yeah, my percentage is all fucked up right now, you know. But it's all good.
If you guys can remember, what's the hardest trophy for you guys? Or which one took the longest for you guys?
Well, we actually answered that on Throw Down Your Questions a very long time ago. I'm not going to get into that now. I'll say it. I'm not going to go into the story. Again, referred back to one of the older episodes because we have been asked about this. It's this trophy for Grand Theft Auto 4 called...
Oh, no. I'm talking about Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, none of them are hard. They're all easy.
No, they're not super difficult.
Ghost of Tsushima is easy. All the trophies are easy, man. You know, it's just some may be a little bit more time and extensive, but they're easy. You know,
yeah, they're not doing like online trophy. Well, they're not doing online trophies that essentially
count towards the platinum.
That count toward the platinum or anything like that. So yeah, they're
Ghost of Tsushima is easy. It just takes a little time, but it's easy. It's a smooth platinum. You know,
I feel like Ghost and Spider-Man. Both Spider-Man games.
Spider-Man's a little easier, though.
Yeah, they're both very easy sort of platinums.
Yeah. No, I think Spider-Man's is easier than Ghost of Tsushima.
Because you could
platinum that whole thing in 23 hours. At least I did. I'm talking about platinum everything, you know? Definitely not as time extensive. All right, before we move on, I will do this twice. Got to plug my Bright Life session, man.
Oh!
Coming up on Wednesday. So I will be on Bright Life once again, which is pretty much like a teaching platform. So I'm going to be teaching all writers, not just newbies, you know, even like current day writers, like how to pitch your stories. That's like one of the most important things, especially if you're a freelancer, pitching your stories to editors. So I'm going to give you all the ins and outs of that. I'm going to have a special guest. I don't want to announce it right now, but I got a special guest who's, I'll just say, it's one of my editors as well. So she's going to be there helping people out. Cause I'm like, let me give the perspective of the writer and then the perspective of the editor. What is the editor looking into, you know? So that's going to be good. And that's going to be on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern over on Bright Life. Go to my Twitter at Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-T-H. The pinned tweet is right there. Click on it. Get your ticket, $15. I want to keep it really affordable for everybody, you know? So if you're interested, please join the session. And if you know somebody who's interested, wants to get into this industry, send them my way, man. It's going to be fun. What's cool about Bright Life is, like, I can pull people from the chat and then just put their video up next to mine, and we could chat one-on-one. It's a really cool feature, you know? Like, it would be dope if, like, Twitch ever does something like that. Although, I don't know how they would do it with, like, hundreds and hundreds, because Bright Life, you could set the session amount and stuff. It's a more controlled environment, but I like the fact that it's not just me answering, like, you know, chat questions. It's like, hey, you got a question? Maybe pull you in here real quick, you know? It's really cool, so go check that out, man. And without further ado, answer some questions, man. All right. First up, Assyrian Air Force. This one, controversial.
Uh-oh.
Caused some controversy over the weekend, for sure. All right. Oh. I'll read the question, and then I'll explain for anybody who may not know. All right. What is your take on Traveler's Tales' founder saying Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart could run on a PlayStation 3? So this is a story Brian was telling us about. I don't know where Brian is, but he's like doing something for the Queen Mother or whatever. oh, by the way,
he's at a Brexit rally.
Yeah, and Chris, he had to initiate the Odin sleep. You know, my man was tired. So the founder of Traveler's Tales, he wrote. I don't know where he wrote this, but I think it was an interview.
No, he didn't write it. No, it was an interview. He has actually a really great YouTube channel about game development.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that because I just saw the written thing. I'm like, maybe this was an interview. No. I don't know what it was. Okay, no, thank you for letting us know.
The guy's actually really, really smart. Like, he's done some really great stuff for, like for games in the industry that you would never be able to think it could ever be done on that specific platform.
Yeah.
So this guy saying this stuff, it actually means something. But what he said is he didn't say that it could run on a PlayStation 3, but he's saying that doing because of the linear nature of the way the Ratchet and Clank intro works, you know, that, you know, jumping through all the different dimensions, you can easily create smaller bottlenecks to kind of create create the effect that these are seamless sections.
Yeah,
that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, and he also talked about how, like, the pocket dimensions are literally pocket-sized, like, mini worlds. That, you know, it's like a skybox. It's not really an entire world, so you can seamlessly go back and forth.
What it is that essentially the idea is that, and this is the same for most games. So when you go through, sometimes let's say if you walk through a door, right, and the door opens, sometimes what's behind that door isn't actually behind that door in the geometry of the level. It's almost like a window that walks into a different location on the map. So those pocket dimensions aren't exactly sitting in that location. What it is, it's you're seeing through a window into another location in the map that is currently loaded.
Yeah.
That's what he's sort of saying.
Yeah.
And this is common. This is stuff that's done in the industry already, and that's what he was saying. He said that this stuff could, what Insomniac said is could be considered misleading, because these things have already been done in the industry. These sort of seamless events have been done in the industry. Just I think that the big difference is that they Insomniac's doing is essentially loading in more information, you know, per second, as opposed to essentially creating these sorts of, you know, essentially tricks to sort of create this idea.
Yeah.
To create the seamless idea.
That's kind of what I got from the thing I read, that basically the PS3 could replicate those. They're not,
yes.
It can't do the same thing that PS5 is doing. Basically, what the PS5 is doing, they are, like, every time you go through these worlds, it's actually the entire world in there, right? But the PS3 could do that, just showing you a slice of that world.
Yes. So, like, so in order for you to do that, the way you could do it is, again, remember how I told you about that sort of, essentially what you're looking through is a sort of a portal to another part of the geometry and another part of the level, right? So what you can do is you have those two separate sort of seconds sort of built together, and then while you're going through one of them, it's loading the other one in the background, kind of like the way he says it in the video.
Yeah. All right, so that's the explanation. So, what do you guys think? What do you think of his analysis?
I definitely think that it could be achieved if you used enough trickery, but at the same time, per capita, I think when it comes to the SSD, it does allow to, you know, a lot of different things. But again, you can create the fake thing. Like, in other words, you can kind of create the fake the idea of something being seamless on the previous consoles, you know, where essentially you just have a little short little level of something here, and then you just, you know, you just jump in between them, or, you know, essentially what Insomniac is sort of doing, you know, and there are load screens inside of those dimensions. You don't perceive them, but when Ratchet is falling through that giant area loading of windows, that's the load screen.
Yep. That is true. Oh, we're already getting some questions about this in the chat.
Let me look that up real quick. Is this a question show?
Yeah, a question. Kishak was wondering if that's true. How come we didn't see this stuff on PS3?
Well, he actually did give an example. If you watch the video, of a very sort of similar thing, where essentially he was able to do picture in-game picture in picture with two different portions of the game running real time at the same time at two different levels.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this was something that he did for Lego Star Wars. So what he's saying is essentially, yes, this thing can be done. It's just like I think a lot of trickery was more used in the old days. This is me speculating. A lot more trickery is done in the old days to sort of get these things to happen, whereas you're just using the pure power of SSD in general, fast accessing to do these sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you're using the old hardware and using hard drives and slower RAM, you have to store the levels next to each other. So if you want to load, if you want to access to like a different world, but it has to be around the same side of the memory as the other one, because it won't be as seamless, because it takes a long time to access different parts of the memory. You know, we saw it when we were doing our streaming of Halo 4. There's parts where they have portals in the game, and you can take a portal from one part of the map to another, and it seems like it's a different world. You know, it seems like it's a different part of the map. So similar things like that have been done. The whole Ratchet thing is, you know, it's obviously taking it to the next level. You know, we're dealing with 4K textures here. It's more seamless. There's just more artifacts and different types of, you know, worlds that are being launched. But, you know, if you want to do that differently, you know, quote unquote, scale it down, it's possible. But, you know, you can't, like, for those, you know, for those that, I don't know if there's a contingency of people that are saying this, but, you know, just in case, if there are people saying you can do Ratchet and Clank on the PS3, it's just not possible.
Yes, and in no way did he actually say that you can do it on a PS3. No, he said that in the video.
It's just the way that articles were titled. That's how they were titled.
Yes, the way he actually said it was that you can do something very similar to what they're doing on a lower end console with the dimensional shifts and sort of stuff, because these things have sort of been done within the actual gaming. If you look, another example of this sort of portal idea is actually the game Portal, where a lot of the doors in Portal aren't actually doors that are behind these specific locations. What they are is they're essentially you're looking into another part of the map when you look through a door. you know, like the elevators and stuff like that. So it's an interesting sort of thing the way they're doing. So yeah. So what the way he explained it is that while one part of the level is loaded, right? You know, what we have, let's say, you know, Ratchet is, you know, on the sort of on rail section of him, you know, skating, you know, grinding on the rail. In the background, you're loading up the next part of the level, which is, you know, the city or whatever, and then you can essentially have that sort of jump back through.
Yeah. Kishek disagrees. He doesn't think you could do it on PS3.
It's been done. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's been done. It can't be done. It's just that they can't do them the way the PS5 does it, but they can trick you into doing a version of it. You know?
Exactly.
Can you even do that? Can you even disagree with... didn't they help make it? The person...
No, he didn't help make it, but he is the founder of Traveler's Tales, so he knows his stuff. But
no, okay. that guy, if you go to his channel, he's actually pretty smart guy when it comes to programming. Like he's solved some really interesting issues when it comes to the previous, you know, like to a lot of the generations he's worked in.
There's people in the chat saying you can't do it with Ratchet and Clank, and GZDR says no ray tracing. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not talking about that.
We're not talking about graphics
at all. We're talking about just, you know, like the illusion of traveling through different worlds. You can do that on PS3.
Yeah, instant. You know? That's what he was talking about. He's not talking about ray tracing. He's not talking about polygons. He's not talking about
4K textures.
Yeah, 4K textures. He's not talking about any of all that stuff. He's talking about specifically the main thing that these guys said that with the power of the SSD that they could achieve. Thing is... you can do something very similar in a previous generation. The only difference is that you can't really do it on the same fidelity. That's the difference.
Yeah, and I will disagree with the guy's statement. He says they were misleading. They're not misleading. What PS5 is doing cannot be done on PS3, but the PS3 can visually replicate it, even if it's not doing it under the hood. You know, that's the difference there.
It's a different way to reach sort of a similar means, you know.
Yes.
It's not exactly the same way where Ratchet and Clank. It's like, okay, let me dump this part of the memory, load a whole level, and do it at a super fast rate. And it's not like that for the PS3. The PS3 is like, let's make sure that this part of the world that we're teleporting into is right next to the same memory that the world that we're currently existing in. So when we want to access it, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's not like that with the PS5. The PS5 is light years and light years quicker than even though light years isn't even a speed, is a measurement of speed, but you know what I'm saying. It's ridiculously faster than whatever a PS3 does. It doesn't have to do trickery to do it.
The one thing, yes, and then also the other big thing that Insomniac and the guys that have talked about is that essentially they don't need to store the same objects multiple times in succession. The reason why a lot of the older games were so huge is because they literally had to stack all of their stuff because it needed to instantly access those things at that specific point in time.
Yeah. There you go.
So in this sense, the SSD was okay, can access that portion of that level, which they have already sort of set up, instead of having a portion of that level sitting within the specific memory that you're, when you know, essentially in the rail, the on rail section. It's always going to be in that section, and what you're seeing is essentially an alternate version of, you know, or approximation or whatever version of whatever this portion of level is.
He says SSDs don't have seek time.
Yes.
Oh, it's. I mean, I guess it does have seek time. It's just minuscule.
They have a low seek time,
but the thing is that you can mask a lot of seek time access with specific things. Like a lot of games, what they'll tend to do is, especially with the Uncharted series or with Ghost of Tsushima, where they used to hide a lot of the loading behind a video. So they'll run a video on, you know, a video portion of the game, and then they'll load some of the geometry or something inside of the background.
Yeah, or even thing. Like, you know, speaking about Uncharted and Last of Us, you notice those sections where you get to a big wall and the character has to lift you up? That's a loading screen. That's what that is.
Like,
you know, in every game where you go through a tiny crawl space, that's a loading screen. You know?
Yeah, that's essentially they're slowing down your progression so that they can dump whatever's behind you, and then slowly but surely, while you're going through there, loading up whatever's coming up next.
Yeah,
and a lot of games are still.
Yeah,
it's all of tricks. Like, you know, again, like nowadays, you probably wouldn't need to do something like that with a game, like where you just continuously run through everything.
Yeah, and that's why I'm excited to see like full on current gen games that don't have to do that nonsense. You know, lots of those. Final Fantasy VII had a ton of those. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, let's crawl through here. You know, oh, let's jump up there. You know, yeah. so
where, again, you again, know, they yeah. have to. Hey, give me a boost, and yeah. then they go do the boost.
Yeah. There's so again, we're the guy is not saying we're not saying that the PlayStation 3 could do that exactly. You know, they could just trick you into. It's like having a marble statue and then like a plastic statue. They may look the same, but one's hollow, the other one's like actually rigid. You know.
Yeah.
From your eyes, it'll look, you know, the same. You know.
Yeah, I think, and that's what the biggest thing is, essentially sort of creating that sort of idea of a seamless experience. We've been doing that for a while now.
Yeah, that's what games are. There, a lot of it is just trickery.
Yeah, know? A lot of it's all just trickery. I mean, there's games in this previous generation that didn't seem like they had very many load times. Once you get Ghost of Tsushima started, when is the only time you really load is when you first initially sit down and do it. Yeah. In fact, they themselves said they had to slow down the loading time between the levels.
Yeah, they had to, yeah.
Between the areas.
There you go. All right, good stuff there. By the way, Kishak, real quick, you did leave a question right before we went on air. We're not answering that question. You're trying to get us in trouble. You're trying to get us in trouble.
Oh.
We're not answering that question. Sorry.
So, Kishak, like, you're right. Trying to get us in trouble, brother?
He's trying to get us in trouble. Like, chill, dude. Oh, man. All right, next question here. Our favorite, Damian.
Uh-oh, what did he hear this time?
Now thankfully, I'm not going to read his original question. He changed it because he realized he was making a big mistake. So he doesn't have any controversial questions for us this week.
Oh, okay, all
believe
right.
it or not. So shout out to Damian for actually recognizing, like, yeah, dude, we've been critical of PlayStation 5. Stop that nonsense, you know?
Right, especially.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've only said you don't need a PS5 a million times, but, you know. Anyway, but he realized that. Anyway, his question, first one. By the way, I'm allowing three questions from him and Mob Hits because we didn't get a lot this week. This week is the opposite of last week. Last week was like, what the fuck is all these questions?
You know? Yeah, all those megatons, that's what it was.
All right, his first question here. Did any of you see the Austin Evans teardown of the remodeled PS5 with a smaller heatsink, considering the reason for the huge heatsink at launch because of heating issues? What is the panel's take on this? Adam, you and I were about to talk. I was like, save for the show. So what's your take on the fact that the heatsink of this is smaller than
the PlayStation? Sucks, man. Yeah. I don't understand. Out of all areas to cut costs, why would you choose something like the heatsink, which could lead to just overheating and malfunction? It blows my mind. I don't understand it. Usually, when we get a revision of a console, it shrinks it down, right? They make them smaller, and they cut some corners with some of the plastics, or the drives are cheaper. But in this case, we see it. They made the heatsink smaller, and it's causing a heat level, a rise in the heat level itself. And if you're playing certain games that could really push the console, that's the last thing you want. We don't want more heat. So I just can't believe they're doing it. And maybe this is not it. Maybe this is not the final one. Maybe it's just certain models that are shipping out. Maybe it's one factory opposed to another factory. That one factory, hey, this is all we had, these smaller ones. Whoops, our bad. But there's another one. I don't know. Just making up excuses for them. But it sucks. If this is it, if there's a final one, then it's going to be one of those situations where we tell everybody, hey, look at the serial number. Make sure you don't get that revision model because it's a high risk for overheating. And that's,
For those of us that didn't watch the video, what exactly happened?
Okay, so Japan, and I think Australia too, they are releasing a new SKU of the PlayStation. They do this all the time because what's going on is PlayStation 5 is now, it has already paid for itself, right? So when that happens, they always do some minor revisions inside of consoles. This has been going on forever, every console. So they, this guy bought the new model from Japan, opened it up, and realized, like, oh, the heatsink's smaller in this one. And the new model apparently produces more heat as well. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah, yeah. He was doing a temperature check. It was like 5 or 6 degrees higher.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it seems that's like a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. It seems like Kishak is not a fan of this guy.
What is this guy, Austin Evans?
Yeah, he. So let me read some of Kishak's comments. He goes, Austin Evans is a clickbait YouTuber. I don't trust his takes. Also, he's testing the exhaust, which is disingenuous, and testing how hot something actually is.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that people were saying. So it's like, we just have to wait and see when someone else gets a copy of it or of the console, and then they can actually tear it apart and do another test. So we will see. I mean, Linus did one similar, not on that, but he did one for the Steam Deck, and he was doing a temperature check, and it's going to vary depending on what you're running and what's happening on it. But it didn't get as hot, the Steam Deck, compared to the other portable handheld PC.
So Austin Evans was testing the temperature on the chassis, or the temperature on the...
He was doing it on the exhaust.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there's a difference between the APU temperature and what gets exhausted out. Yeah.
Yeah. He said that in the video too. He said the inside, you know, it's different. It's going to be hotter inside than what comes out of it. He did, but I don't remember him testing it on the inside. I don't remember that. But the thing is, like, the picture speaks for itself. The heat sink is smaller. That's not even up for debate. It is smaller.
You can't fake that. You know? It's smaller.
Did the console? I mean, the console didn't get smaller. Why?
They tested the weight of them. They're like, hey, this thing's 300 grams less. So what's going on here? And then it turned out that 300 grams is from the heatsink. It's just a smaller, you know.
Yeah, the heatsink is smaller, but it looks like the fan was also slightly adjusted too.
Yeah, it was, but they weigh the same. From his test, they weigh 257 mm-hmm. grams. But the fan is different looking now. And there was another part that was, like, smaller as well. Stuff, that's not his take. It's literally smaller, you know?
I don't understand why they did that kind of revision.
Yeah, this that soon? Doesn't make much sense.
You know, again, what he speculated, and I agree with him because we've seen it in the past. It's like, hey, they're already making a profit off PS5. Time to make it cheaper. You know, buy cheaper parts for the inside. Every console has done this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if anything, maybe that is something that's somehow saving money off of the new PlayStation.
It is, yeah. It is.
So, you know,
the shipping costs, maybe it's because it's a little lighter. That changes everything. Who knows?
Yeah, lighting, like, it's lighter. Maybe who knows if this heatsink is actually more efficient at in doing this stuff. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. But I'm with Adam. I'm a little troubled by that. I'm like, you know, you guys have had heating problems with, like, the last PlayStations, like 4 and 3 specifically. You know, it's like, you know, you better chill with that shit. But we'll have to see until it gets into actual people's hands. You know. So I don't want to jump the gun on that. But pretty interesting.
Now with the fan. It sounds the same. It didn't sound any louder.
Yeah.
So did they get rid of the coil line?
The coil, no. Like, that's the thing. I don't think that was an issue that they saw on there. On this new model, like, what is that extra coil or the sticker in some situations? People say you got to peel that off, and because that caused a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm glad I don't have to buy a PS5 for soon.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, if people's PlayStation start catching fire as much as they have been now, you know, we'll find out.
Man, yeah, we don't want that.
Because Brett has experienced a lot of issues, and there's quite a bit of other people, prominent people within the industry, who's had issues with their PlayStation 5. So,
I don't mind to catch fire. I'd really appreciate it if it didn't do that.
Yes, and Brett is indeed a prominent person.
He is the he's a prominent person.
Yeah,
driving around here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Review Tech USA. He had a defective PlayStation, and there was a few other guys that had ones too. Right?
Oh yeah. Man.
ATG.
They sent him one early so he can review, and that one crapped on him.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, our boy John Christ. He had to send his PlayStation 5 in like 3 times already. You know.
Yeah.
Damn.
So yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't like you.
I would be a Stadia fan after that shit.
Yeah, right. yeah, it's very troubling if these things just start overheating. We don't want the red ring of death. You know,
it's kind of funny, right? Like, it's the bigger. It's kind of like almost resembles like Xbox in the previous generation. They had this big Jagunda console that's underpowered, but that creates a whole shitload of heat.
Yeah. Shit is crazy.
I don't know, man. It's, you know, that heat sink was huge for a reason.
Yeah, like the reason the console is that stupidly big is because of that. So, but everything's still the same. Just big. By the way, if you see me going like that, it's going like PlayStation 5's literally right here. But yeah, I don't know, man. Oh, I guess what? Hey, Carlos, I'm with you. I'm like, I'm glad I got this model then. You know?
Well, you know, the one thing that they do, that Sony does, and this happens with all of them, they always sort of take away features and things. Like, usually the first model is the butter one, right? That has everything. Like, you know, remember the first PlayStation
Vita,
5?
OLED.
Vita had the OLED and a bunch of additional stuff on top of it. Same thing with the Vita. The PlayStation Portable. Same thing with the PlayStation 3. Remember how
backward compatible and all that?
It was backward compatible. Had a bunch of different slots underneath that little hood for, you know, like, as you know, solid state storage things and stuff like that, and a flash storage and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's I don't understand why they do that. I wonder are they going to get rid of backwards compatibility for the PS5?
Yeah,
imagine that.
Yeah, they got to get rid of it because, if they got rid of backward compatibility on the PlayStation 5, they're literally killing their console because that's all they got right now.
Yeah.
Backward compatible games.
I mean, that's all both consoles have right now, just playing old games, you know?
You're playing your old games. You got to wait like till now everything's being pushed back to 2023.
Yeah, some games, yeah. It's crazy. All right, I think we're good here, so let's move on to the next one. This one is from Mob Hits. Why was the Halo Infinite campaign a no-show at Gamescom? Should we brace for another delay? I understand there's a date already set and they can still release the multiplayer portion, but would this even be worth it? No Forge and no co-op. There's no campaign available. Should the consumer accept that? We're not going to jump that far. Like, they haven't said anything about the campaign. Campaign's going to be there, dude. I do express that concern, too. It's like, how come they haven't shown the campaign? It's kind of odd. You know, but maybe we'll get it later.
I'll give you a quick answer too. No spoilers. It's a campaign. It's a story. No spoilers.
But I don't think they're going to go that far. Like, oh, no campaign. They're not going to do that, bro. Like they don't have co-op. You know, it's like, you know, I think they're going to take another one away. So I'm not really going to stress it too much. I do understand the worry because they're like, yo, can we see the campaign? What's going on here?
They're not doing a lot of show and tell. That's the worry there. They just gave a date and it's coming. It's like, okay, but where's all the show and tell? Show us some of the bells and whistles, new features. Not right now.
Yeah. Oh, Damien, I'm going to get to your other questions, bro. I just arranged them in a certain way. I'm putting the hottest questions up first, you know? Don't worry, bro. We got you, man. As a matter of fact, I think we got yours next, but yeah, I don't really have anything to say about this one. Like, the campaign will show when it shows. That's it.
You know? I mean, it's not like we have any sort of inside sources as to what would happen, why they decided to not show it. But you know, we have a date, right? So you know, anytime between now and then, we're going to see a little bit of something. So. Hopefully they were able to fix it.
I have no clue why they wouldn't show it. Obviously, there is the possibility that there could be a show later on in the year. I don't know, when does the Video Game Awards come out?
December.
Could be something there. I don't know, because it's early Decembers. So,
Watch it be the same week, because isn't December 8th when Halo drops?
That's what it December 8th.
As a matter of fact, we could look this up, because Game Awards is always on a Thursday. And usually within the first week. Oh, look at that. The Game Awards, it could be on the 9th, the day afterwards.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be on the 9th, so it'll be the day afterwards. So no Halo announcement, because Halo would have already been out, you know?
Yeah,
because it's always the second week of the month. But yeah, nothing to say. Again, we're not one of these fucking podcasts that just loves speculation. We don't do that. We don't have anything to say, so that's it, you know? All right, moving on here. All right, Damien, here's your other questions. And now we're, these are more evergreen type of questions now. Even though we do have
evergreen.
Ooh, I should have probably, Damien, forgive me. I'm skipping your question for now. Because the thing that we do now is like, we try to keep the more timely ones, but we got you, bro. We got you, man. You don't need to put the cap locks on. You know, Bobby put that like him
disrespectful.
No, he was
more shit about him thinking that we don't say shit about fucking the PlayStation.
No, he just pulled the hip hop game, wrote all the caps, you know,
because he knows that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're critical of everything. Again, I'm the guy who owns a PlayStation 5 who will be the first person to tell you, do not buy this console right now. You know,
I ain't buying that shit right now,
because all I'm doing is just playing old games, man. Because neither console has anything new. Let's just be real. PlayStation 5 has some, but that was months ago. Ratchet and Clank is literally the last PlayStation 5 game for who knows how long, you know? So you don't really need it, you know? Remember, Damien, you do not need a PlayStation 5, you know? I don't want you to turn that into you don't need an Xbox, even though you don't need that either, you know? You don't need either of them. You don't. You know, you're good with your last-gen console, you know? Let's just be real here.
Yeah.
Because that's all we're getting. We're just getting fucking remakes and all this other shit. Anyway, let's move on here. Logic Wentz, who's been joining us in the chat, what's going on, brother? All right, his question is, given the... Let me finish this one, because I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Did I miss something? All right. Given the unprecedented backlash Saints Row's reboot reveal has received from fans, Volition has responded that they're, quote-unquote, standing their ground. If each of you were in Volition's... this is a tricky one. Volition's position... How would you personally handle this heated situation? All right. Was there backlash?
I thought everybody was thrilled that it would take.
I was like, I didn't see any backlash. Granted, I've been playing Yakuza, so I haven't been on Twitter as much. Like, has there been backlash? I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. You know? My thing is like, dude, I saw that shit. I'm like, this is great. Do that. You know, because I wanted them to mix Saints Row 1 and 2 aesthetics or, you know, flavor with 3 and 4. It looks like we're getting that perfect. Let's go. I have absolutely no
complaints. But what are people Let's pissed do this. About, though?
Logic Wins, can you tell us what people are mad about? Because I didn't see any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
by the way, shout out to Barry Burton, who gifted Damien a tier 1 sub.
Oh, shit. There you go, Damien. Yeah. You know? Damien, you're not getting banned, dude. You're good. No one's banning you. What are you talking about? You know? So Logic Wins, please fill us in, because I didn't see any none of us saw any controversy, you know?
I mean, there was a few people that said some things, but I don't
know. It's always going to be a few people, but it's coming to a point of like, oh, well, we're going to boycott this. This is a piece of shit. And I don't see anyone really.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
People are just happy to get another one. And this one looks like it's going to have a good story and new open world environment. That's what you would want, right?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Saints Row game. So I don't really know what people would be complaining about.
Make everybody happy. Somebody's gonna find something to bitch about.
I checked the dislike. This is Kishak. I checked the dislike ratio on YouTube and guess there was. Oh, okay. So it was a big. There was a ratio. It got ratioed on YouTube, I guess.
Oh well, when people put it on. I never follow that shit anymore with the whole down and up. Ever since the Call of Duty Infinite, remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And the most downvoted, and yet that was their most top selling right there.
We'll call it out of the Call of Duty. It says the Logic One says the promise that they replace gangsters with literal Steve Urkel. Okay.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. None of the characters look like gangsters. So I guess that was a controversy.
I mean, they
didn't look like gangsters in the last one.
Yeah, I don't know what are they looking what trying to like a mafia type? Is that what they're going for? That's
well, I mean, isn't it they're saying that this is a reboot of the franchise too?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
A whole different direction. Yeah, they're taking it out. None of the characters are returning from the previous ones. So, yeah, this is all new.
Yeah. So, yeah, for the question, how would you have handled the Saints Row reboot? The way they're doing it now is fine by me. I got no problem with it, you know?
Yo, man, wake up, you know, wake up from a long dream and then have Steve Urkel's face show up right in front of your face. Tell me that shit won't be fucking scary as hell.
Hey guys.
Did I do that?
So yeah, I guess it got downvoted, but like Adam said, you know, who cares? You know,
who cares, man?
Here's the thing. I say wait till you'll actually see.
Yeah, no one's seen the actual gameplay yet. We got to see the gameplay.
Yeah, all you've seen is a trailer, a CGI trailer. It's really nothing right now.
Yeah,
I mean, Saints Row is it's a great series. But it's been a spoof series. It's been a spoof series since its inception.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, the first one was
the first one was serious with it.
The first one was more serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just, because they had a lot of jokey stuff. Like I mentioned, remember the version of Wendy's freckle bitches, and they had little funny things like that.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, so does Grand Theft Auto. Like,
yeah.
Grand Theft Auto was
comical later on. The fall of it.
Yeah,
I think they saw San Andreas and said, you know what, we're gonna just keep gonna do that even more.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and this is what I think happened because, like, yeah, Saints Row 2, when I play, I'm like, this is San Andreas. It had the same exact feel. And then with 3, I think 3 was a counter to GTA 4. Remember, GTA 4 is very serious. So, like, fuck that. We're going to go crazier.
Yeah, they went, you know,
and then they went for 4. They're like, let's go even crazier than that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, again, guys, we only saw a trailer. We don't know what's going on, so we can't be up in arms. We don't know, you know.
Just be happy we're getting something new and not another remaster or remake. Oh, we figured we'll just give you a remake of that. No,
yeah,
come on, like what we're getting with the Dead Space.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd like to see.
Logic Win says, I'm trying to keep an open mind, but the director already confirmed that the adult humor isn't coming back. I read that. I am concerned about that, Mike. It's supposed to be raunchy and racy. That's what Saints Row is about.
What is if it doesn't have that?
It could still be fun, though. It could still be fun.
No, I mean, is it still Saints Row? Like, that's kind of that's one of the defining things about it.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
That did set
my spider sense off.
One thing I did see said about it that, and at least somebody did say about it, that it felt very much like Fortnite. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The first Saints Row was serious. Yeah, and then they went goofier as they went along. Yeah. You're right, though. The Fortnite aesthetic is in a lot of games now, I've noticed. But the thing is, Saints Row was already stylized in the last two games anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. Not Fortnite stylized, but it was stylized regardless, you know? It was not hyper-realistic or anything like that. So, yeah, we'll have to see, guys. We don't know enough yet. All right. Moving on. Next question. This is also from Logic Wins. Okay. Firaxis has revealed 9 out of the 12 Marvel characters present in Midnight Suns. Which additional 3 characters would you like the game to feature? He goes, I would like to see Cloak and Dagger along with Boom Boom. Very interesting. Cloak and Dagger, I can understand because they're like more horror. Not horror, but, you know, they're more underground kind of supernatural. Boom Boom, that's like not supernatural. Let's see. I don't know if these were announced, but Werewolf by Night. Swamp Thing.
Not Swamp Thing. Man Thing,
excuse me. And for the fuck of it. Oh, no, wait. Son of Satan. Throw him in there.
Yep, Son of Satan.
Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. Not Swamp Thing. Man Thing, you know?
Man Thing.
Yeah, remember the joke? Like,
giant-sized
Man Thing. That's an actual name of a comic.
Yes. I mean, I would agree with that. Werewolf by Night. I think they already showed Ghost Rider in there because he was in Midnight Sun. I would definitely drop. I think they had Captain Marvel and fucking Iron Man in there.
Get rid of them. They're not supernatural.
Get rid of them. They are not supernatural characters. I would say also Morbius. Wolverine,
get rid of him too. Get rid of Wolverine.
I mean, Wolverine can work in there because he's a bit of a darker sort of character. He can kind of fit in both ends. I'll give him a pass.
Okay.
To be honest, the only thing is I would do is I get rid of the mask. I'd make him Logan.
Hmm. Okay.
Just you know, patch Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because the Midnight Suns in general was sort of like, again, they're supposed to be horror and so that sort of stuff. And if you notice, a lot of those guys originally, they never wore like fancy clothing. Like they were like street clothes and shit. They all look like blades, you know, like, you know, people in leather jackets and shit, you know, monsters. So I said Morbius, the living vampire. I would say Zombie. The actual character zombie that they have, and then who was it? It was 3, right?
Yeah, 3 characters. I think you named them. You're good.
Well, was it 3? I said Morbius. Okay. All right.
Yeah, you named 3. All right, Brett. 3 Marvel characters that you would like to see in this game, preferably supernatural dark ones.
I'm trying to think of the. I don't know. I mean, other than Ghost Rider, I don't really. Ghost Rider and Blade. I'm trying to think of a lot of the supernatural ones that were there.
I guess to give you, like, Johnny Blaze also was part of the Midnight Suns.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Ghost Rider.
Like Danny Ketch as himself was part of the Midnight
Suns. Oh, okay.
He wasn't Ghost Rider.
Oh, that point.
I just realized something, because they have Robbie Reyes in here, right? So he's the guy that drives the car. So you could technically have one of the actual real Ghost Riders in there with a motorcycle, you know?
Yep.
And Brett, like we talked about this week, man, get our boy Danny Ketch in there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Johnny Blaze, but Danny Ketch is the man, you know?
Doctor Strange was also part of the Midnight Suns.
He's
as
in
well.
This game, isn't he?
He's in it, yeah.
Who are the nine characters? I didn't know they had that many. I thought they only had like six.
See, that's kind of where I was at. I was like, I don't really know of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Punisher was part of it at one point.
Yeah, he was when he had that like hell gun.
kind of, I guess.
Remember, he had that shotgun that shot hell bullets or something.
Yeah, he was. That was when he resurrected him or something.
Yeah,
I can't think of any names except for Venom.
So Moon Knight. You could say Moon Knight. Well, also is a good one on there.
Moon Knight counts.
He's supernatural.
I'm assuming that he does. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
supernatural. But then they added that whole weird thing where he's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know the nine characters in the game. Lilith, Mother of Dragons. I don't know what the fuck that is. Why is Captain America in this game?
Captain America is not a Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
Well, here, you could get away if Captain America was Wolf Cap.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He was the werewolf version of himself.
Okay, so here's the character. So we got Blade. Okay, yes. Okay. Doctor Strange, yes. Works. Okay. Captain America, no. No, get rid of him.
No, he doesn't.
Iron Man, get rid of him. Magic, I'll allow, because literally that's her name, you know? Ghost Rider, we're good. Wolverine, Manny, I don't think... I'll let him feel, but I personally don't think he should be there. Okay. Captain Marvel, get rid of him. Nico Minoru, that name sounds familiar. That might be one of the newer Marvel characters.
Nico!
Who the hell
Brother
is...
Nico!
Who is Nico? I don't know. It seems like it's somebody from The Runaways. I never read that book, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why isn't somebody like Elsa Stone in there? She's like,
yeah, there you go.
She's like the monster hunter sort of chick.
Yeah, but Elsa Stone would be good.
Sister Sin,
yeah.
Caretaker.
Hey, Manny, our boy, Brother Voodoo.
Get him in there. Brother Voodoo, man. You know? Put Brother Voodoo in there.
Yeah, man.
He was part of it.
Get him in there. Why not?
There's also Blackout. He was part of it.
Yeah. So yeah, anybody else? Like Carlos doesn't read comics; he wouldn't know any of these guys. Adam, what about you?
Screw you!
Yeah, you know you don't though.
I said Venom.
Yeah, okay, Venom. Eh.
Venom can theoretically work.
He can. I'll let it slide.
He's one of those weird, like I feel like darker edge sort of characters sort of could fit in there.
Yeah, like Carnage could kind of work, I guess.
I could throw Gray Hulk in there, and maybe it will work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I could kind of see that, or the new version of Hulk. That what is it? Immortal Hulk. Yeah, Immortal Hulk. Yeah, because he's more supernaturalish with the green door and all that shit.
Yeah. Like a darker version of the Hulk. Like it's like they're sort of like the flip side of the Marvel universe. If they were the think Dark Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, what here's about, a, here's a, yeah. Go ahead.
What about Ronan? But he's not supernatural.
No, he's not supernatural.
Right?
So I'm going to read a list of names of people who've been on the team. Okay. We got Hellstrom. Okay.
Okay.
Scarlet Spider. I didn't know he was on Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
Who's Jennifer Kale? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Jennifer Kale. It sounds like Jennifer Hale.
Yeah. Morbius, Werewolf by Night. Danny Ketch, our boy.
Isn't Jennifer Kale Dagger? No, right?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
She was a supporting character in Man-Thing, so there you go.
Okay, all right, sure.
Okay, Danny Ketch, like we said, Johnny Blaze, Doctor Strange, Black Cat, interesting. Topaz, I don't know who that
Topaz.
Is. Yeah. Blade, Hannibal King, I don't know who Hannibal King is. Iron Fist, he's supernatural, I guess, so that works.
Yeah, he's supernatural, so he works.
Manny already mentioned her, Elsa Bloodstone.
Yep.
Moon Knight, Frank Drake. Which Frank Drake? I don't know. Darkhold Redeemers. I don't know who those guys, but they got someone with the Darkhold. Yeah, they would fit. Punisher, like you said, Man-Thing, and Dr. Voodoo.
Yeah, he's doctor. He's a doctor
he's
now.
A doctor. Yeah, Brother Voodoo, man. Remember when he used to call him Brother Voodoo?
Yeah, they call him Dr. Voodoo now.
Yeah.
Hey, he didn't spend 7 years in Voodoo Medical School to be called Mister.
Yeah, there you go. You know what?
No, he's brother.
He's brother. He's a brother. Voodoo. He's a brother.
He's a brother Voodoo.
You know?
Yeah, still.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for indulging our comic book nerdness. Let's move on to the next question here. All right, Damian, we got your questions, brother. All right. Out of all the consoles in history, which of them had the best name?
Ooh.
He says his pick is GameCube, by the way.
I'd say Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that's a good one. Genesis, yeah.
That sounds like...
You hear that shit? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's some power name right there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you hear that shit like, Genesis, this is the beginning, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of the other names are sort of weak.
TurboGrafx 16 stood out. It was like, TurboGrafx.
Oh shit, let's go.
It sounded like a graphics card before we even knew what graphics cards were.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. TurboGrafx 16. Damn, it's some 16-bit turbo. Okay, that's cool. And it was on a card. I was like, shit.
It really did sound like a graphics card.
Yeah. I was like, shit,
you know, did you know that they had those Hue cards for Genesis as well? In Japan.
Oh, really?
For Mega Drive? Man. Yeah. They had the same sort of technology.
Why didn't they bring that over? That would have been dope.
What about you guys in the chat? What names do you like? ColecoVision, that sounds whack to me.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Most console, even PlayStation, Atari, has a dumb name, too, if you think about it.
Atari 2600 or whatever numbers they use sounded interesting.
Yeah.
Because it was like the name of the company plus the, you know, it was sort of an exotic name like Atari, which is not even, I don't even think it's a real Japanese word.
It's not a Japanese console either. It's an American.
But I'm saying they chose an exotic sounding name to, you know, of their company.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like it could be a Japanese word. Yeah.
Manny, what about Vita?
PlayStation Portable doesn't sound, that's not good.
Yeah. I like the Xbox because it sounded like this is just an experimental unit. So it was like, here's your Xbox.
I was like,
that makes sense.
I like the name Xbox. It has a bit of mystery to it. And it sounds like, again, it sounds like some sort of crazy graphics card.
By the way, I just looked it up right now. Atari is a play on a Japanese word.
What's the word?
Ataru. And it means hit the target.
Okay, all right.
There you go.
I learned something new every day.
Ataru.
Let me know if you count my answer.
Okay.
And I'll say why. Super Nintendo, because all of the games were called Super. All the Nintendo, Super Metroid,
they had
Super
a theme. Mario Bros. Yeah.
It had a theme, and it's like, oh, those are the Super Nintendo games.
Well, it made more sense if you knew what Nintendo was. So if you say you knew about Nintendo, like all the parents that always call all that shit Nintendo, and if they hear, oh, there's another one now, what's it called? Super Nintendo. Oh, it's gotta be better, right? It's Super.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Nintendo was called the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, in Japan it was the Super Family Computer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which I believe the Nintendo is actually a much NES or Nintendo Entertainment System is actually a better name than the Family Computer.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that just makes you think of like the computer that you had back in the day. You know, you had like an old.
Yeah, the family computer.
Yeah, this is the family computer.
Yeah. By the way, Carlos, you know Nintendo did that again, right? With the N64, it's just whatever 64. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they did the same shit. You know,
it's kind of like PlayStation adding numbers at the end of their names.
Yeah, that's just their thing. You know. But yeah, the name PlayStation, not very compelling. Xbox, not corny. You know, too. You know.
I didn't have an issue with that one.
That much. Corny, no, yeah.
No, because it seems to get these like fucking Mountain Dew swilling dudes, you know?
No. You're thinking before that. Before there was any Mountain Dew, Xbox was just like Xbox. It wasn't LG Mountain Dew. Yeah. That came later on when we started getting all the Call of Duties and shooter games. It was just a mystery.
I didn't like that. It was like, a Xbox. Logo.
Well, I mean, you know why it's called the Xbox, right?
Oh, the Direct Xbox, yeah.
I mean, it's sort of based off of their API.
Yeah, so I don't like either of those, PlayStation or Xbox. I don't like either of those either. Most consoles, Genesis is the clear winner here, you know?
Yeah, the Dreamcast sounds a little weird.
Yeah, it does. Well,
what about Sega Master System?
I mean...
That does sound kind of cool, though.
Like I think the Master System sounds interesting.
Yeah, Brett, were you going to say?
Disagreeing.
Okay, Genesis. Genesis, bro. You know, because it sounds better than Mega Drive. That's what they called it everywhere else in the world.
Overseas,
you know?
It was called, Mega Drive.
Mega
Drive sounds kind of cool, too, if you think
about
it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound weird either. Mega Drive, Sega Genesis, I don't mind the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Neo Geo, that's a bit of a weird one.
Oh, somebody shitting on Genesis the Band in the comments. Oh.
Genesis the Band? What are you talking about, Genesis? Genesis the Band is good.
Radio is silly.
But before and after, when Peter Gabriel was the singer and and then Phil Collins jumped in.
You know what I did like? The Nomad. The second Genesis, the Nomad. That was the cool name.
Nomad sounds dope, too.
Yeah,
that has a good name, too.
Yeah, bring that back.
Sega knows how to name systems, man.
For a portable device,
that makes sense. What do you think of Game Gear? It's a little weak, right? Yeah,
I don't know about
Game Boy.
They're both kind of bad.
They're kind of weird.
You know?
Turbo Express? That was the handheld of the TurboGrafx. Graphics.
That's right.
And
they
play the same games. Remember,
that was amazing.
Yeah, PC
that
Engine. That's not a good name.
PC Engine.
Remember that PC Engine?
Yeah. The Japanese one. I don't know. It's a weird one. It's also sort of an English name too.
It is. Yeah. PC Engine.
The PC Engine. Radio, just like family computers.
Exactly.
3DO. It wasn't a very good name either.
So many times people are like, what is that? What's a 3DO? It's like, fuck.
Yeah, you gotta school them, you know?
3ODO. That's what used to happen sometimes. You say
remember the Atari Jaguar?
I don't mind. You know, that's actually a decent name.
Yeah, Jaguar. Yeah, Jaguar does sound pretty cool. It sounds dangerous. You know?
It sounds dangerous. Yeah, I
like
that
Jaguar.
That was
bad, cool. Bad console, but good name. You know?
Yeah, good name. I thought the Nintendo 64 was, the Ultra 64 was a better name for the.
Ultra Z Force sounds cool. Combo.
Ultra Combo.
That game was on N64, right? Killer Instinct?
No, Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. Yeah, I like the Dreamcast. I love the Dreamcast.
I love the console. I love the design, but the man,
We're casting dreams.
Wii is just like what?
Why did I hear Pierre Molyneux saying that, even though he had nothing to do with Dreamcast? And on this on this console, we're going to cast your dreams.
Well, you know, Peter Moore is also
Peter Moore.
British
he is.
Too.
Yes, yeah,
that's
he is.
Probably what you're. That's probably you're probably conflating Peter Moore with Peter
that's
Molyneux.
True. Yeah, I know you're right about that.
You know, it's crazy.
Except Peter Moore's not a liar.
except he don't really have a tattoo.
Yeah,
on
it
his
is
arm.
True. Yeah,
that's a fake
Yo,
one.
Let me see that Dreamcast fake tattoo, man.
Yeah, the
fake Halo too.
Yeah,
the Wii is one of the worst names for a console ever. And somehow Nintendo has the balls to name their next console the Wii U.
Wii U.
That's just fucking classic Nintendo, man.
It really is.
You know what?
I'm going to say this, though. Go ahead, Adam.
What's the U supposed to represent?
You.
You. Like you. Literally you.
Yeah.
But that's not how we spell it here. It's Y-O-U.
That's how Nintendo spells it.
No, but they're doing it phonetically.
Well, think about
you.
It. The Wii is supposed to be Wii, but they spelled it weird. So they had to spell you weird, too. You know,
mm-hmm.
You have to spell like a 16-year-old girl. You know, texting.
I just think of wee.
That's all I think of too.
I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Shout out to Kung Pao.
Kung Pao, man. My kids love that movie, man. They love it. Squeaky shoes.
Damn it! I was going to say something. I completely lost it. oh well. It was about console names. Hold on. play Nintendo. I got that's where I got lost when we started talking about Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Oh, Switch is actually not a bad name because it Switch is what it does. The name of the console is what it does. So that's actually kind of, even though the name itself may not be like cool on its face, if you think about what it does, like, yeah, that's actually appropriately named.
Yeah.
You know, the Switch is between
a console. It says what it is.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Moving on here to the next question. Also from Mr. Damian. All right. Given Xbox's current momentum, how important is it for PlayStation to return to E3 next year if there's a live show? I think PlayStation has proven they don't need to be at E3 to be successful. They don't dude. Need it. They don't
nobody need needs to be at this year.
It'd be nice. It would be very nice, but no. They've proven since 2018 they do not need to be there. You know, 2019, excuse me, 2019.
I mean, look at all the companies that are just working from home, doing everything off site. We've seen it everywhere. So this is no different. They're like, shit, how many followers do we have on YouTube and on all these other social media platforms?
Yeah.
Why aren't we just streaming direct to them then?
Well, think about it. Like, even 2019, Sony said, fuck it, we're not doing any of that stuff. And it was still fine. Yeah. Nothing happened, you know? So, no. I would love it if they were there, but they don't need to be at E3. History has proven that already. Yeah. You know,
it's fun for meet and greets and stuff, but it's not needed on their end.
Yeah, no, because they can save money; they don't have to pay the ESA all that cash. You know,
yeah, and then the setups—you always hear about how much it costs to set up those displays and shit, and to tear down and moving—it costs a lot.
Yeah, so I think we answered. No, it's not important. They don't need to. They've proven it. They don't need to. You know.
Well, all they need is a press conference, really.
Yeah, they don't even need to do that. They don't even do that. They don't bother with it. Like, yeah.
What I'm saying is that all they need is to do a press conference to, quote-unquote, be at E3.
Yeah.
They don't need to be on the show floor or anything like
Kishak, that. That was part of the question. We were like, if it's back next year, you know? It's a hypothetical, you know? But what's not happening is Sony is not coming back to E3. They're done with that shit. That's not a hypothetical. That's a fact, you know? They've proven they don't need to. They don't need E3. All right. Moving on. That was a simple one. Where are we right now? Mob hits. Last two questions of the night.
What?
This is the opposite of last week, man. You know? All right. I need some help with this question. I don't know what he's asking. I do have a question to Chiron that I think is the question, but I'm not sure. And I'm going to read it. I edited a little bit, but not too much. Because I wanted to keep the kind of spirit of it, so maybe we could decipher this. Were games made to appeal to us primarily, or has the next generation / demographic taken over? I don't know what that means.
I think it depends on the publisher. I think he's talking about the direction that gaming's going, like with Fortnite and all that.
Who's stuff. Us? First of all, who is us?
In gamers? I think he means older.
Well, guys, slow down. Generation. We're all talking. Let's say Carlos, you first, and then Brett.
I think he's talking about the older generation, people who've experienced more than that three generations of gaming.
All right. Brett, what do you think he's saying?
He's talking about the old heads, the people who've been around since the Nintendo. Like, honestly, we have two real generations of gaming. We had the people before the Atari, but that was kind of a half generation. Then those that really gamed on the NES when they were young, like, they're essentially the first generation. I think he's saying, have they stopped targeting us as consumers? Because if you think about it, we're the consumers. We've always been the consumers. So are they still targeting us as consumers, or have they moved on to our kids and they don't give a shit about us? Because that's actually legitimate. That's a lot of the money that marketing goes for is for the teenage crowd because they have the most expendable income of any group of people.
Well, do they? Because they don't have the money. It's the parents.
It's
expendable.
It's like what we see with figures and all these collectible sets that keep coming out now. And it's like, who's paying for this? Well, it's the people that grew up enjoying it. Now they have that expendable money because now they're working and they can afford it. And we're seeing that with a lot of these franchises, these old ones come back. Kids don't know about the He-Mans and all that stuff, but we do. And we're buying all this shit.
Well, so, I mean, I think it's you can't just apply one size fits all when it comes to this sort of situation. In the gaming industry, when it comes to these sorts of games, I definitely think there is a push toward the younger generations. And classically, when it comes to toys and all kinds of other things, previously, that is the generation that you're always sort of trying to hit. But the thing about it is that a lot of kids these days are not watching TV. They're what inspires them to get these things is not specifically what is on, you know, in a commercial or on any of these other things. A lot of it is usually through, you know, hearsay through other people on the internet. So it's a little bit of a different demographic. So that's why I think that's, but I think in general that what they're, a lot of them are trying to hit is that younger generation that is just wants to keep playing and playing and playing. When it comes to us, especially when it comes to toys and stuff, a lot of our older generation, you know, our generation sort of cares about that because we sort of grew up in the sort of 80s, you know, toy generation where, you know, essentially you watch 30-minute commercials, which are He-Man and She-Ra and all those other things. I think when it comes to advertising for us, remember the older generations are also a lot more fickle as it when it comes to the content. We tend to be a little bit more selective, and when it doesn't fit exactly what we want, the sort of thing, then you'll find this sort of pushback. So I do think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. By the way, this is the way I have the question listed. You let me know if it's in line. I wrote it as, are games no longer being made for hardcore gamers? Is that fair to say, or should I say old school gamers?
It's not who the games are being made for. It's whose money they're... Like, you can make a Pixar movie for kids and parents, right? Yes. But, like, you're still going after somebody's money intentionally. And, I mean... It's obvious that it's kind of gone at least somewhat towards the kids again because they have expendable money.
Their
parents want to shut them up and they'll buy it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that.
Actually, hold on, scale it back. Isn't Fortnite free?
Fortnite is free.
It is.
There you go. You know, yeah. So they are targeting kids with no money.
Don't they have pay transactions and shit?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. But that's how they get you, Brett. You know, that's how they get them in for free, and then their parents have to, you know, buy the extra shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the way the rope-a-dope sort of works. They get you in for free, and then they show you a Batman skin or some other character that you enjoy, and then that's when you shell out the money. Yeah. And it's only, what, like $1 or $2?
Yeah, and another one, my nephew was here the other day, right, yesterday, and he spent the whole day playing Roblox. Free game? But you have to pay for shit if you want extra. That's how they get kids, man.
Yeah. You want to build stuff, you want to put things in.
Because kids don't have money on their own, but their parents have money, you know?
Yeah. And then it also essentially goes with the parents a little bit. Like, hey, I want to play this game. It's free. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Let you play it. But I want this Batman skin. Okay. And it's only $1. It's only $1. It's only 99 cents. All right, great. But then that adds up, right? You know, they keep seeing skins and skins and skins that they want, and they just spent $100, you know?
Yeah, but I generally agree with what Manny said. I believe everything I was said so far. but seriously, it's like, actually, I'm going to add to it. Like, yeah, like guys like us, we like our games to be very specific, right? They're not going to cater to us. They want to cater to, you know, more, for lack of a better term, malleable audiences, which are the younger cats, you know? But the thing is, gaming has always done this stuff, if you really think about it, right? Go back to the 32-bit days, right? They were like, fuck 2D, all 3D now. So all you guys are left behind, you know? So you could even go back that far. So gaming has always been chasing the next hot thing. You know, that's just the way it is.
The one thing about it is that when you're chasing the next hot thing, people are, I feel like, because it's new and all that stuff, people aren't exactly as picky about it, you know. And especially, like, again, it's like with something like Fortnite or a lot of those games, they're meant for just pure game, pure gameplay. There's no story, no nothing.
Well, unless you want to go see, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, and have some girl twerking in front of him, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's gaming. I mean, everything in general, all media is always chasing the new crowd, the new hot thing, you know? So it's not anything new there, you know?
As somebody who's worked in TV animation, there's a thing that's called, was it the 7-year or 10-year cycle, where essentially means that every 7 or 10 years, you have a whole new audience. So that means you start rebooting things again. It's happened.
And I'm going to tell you this, you know, saying this as a game journalist who works in this stuff, like a game, you know, somebody who has me like, oh, when do you consider a game old? I'm like, in my industry, literally a month, the game's already old. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to hear about that stuff. They want the new thing, you know, so
it's not like,
oh, games are, sun, you know, have gone to the shift. They've, it's always been like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
what are we talking about right now? We're talking about these new consoles. It's all about the new, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. When people ask me like, hey, Tony, you know, how come you don't play this game? You're like, dude, I can't play old shit. I don't have time to play old shit. I have to stay with the current stuff because that's what the industry needs, you know, or, you know, needs to, you know, not to survive, but that's what people want, basically. You know, they want the new shit. So I can't spend my time playing old shit that I want to play because I got to keep on top of the new stuff.
If your job was to be like sort of an evergreen reporter, in other words, if essentially you're doing like Linneman on Digital Foundry, where it's essentially a lot of his main gig is just essentially to talk about old things.
Yeah, but think about that.
That would be a different story.
But that's a subset of Digital Foundry, which always covers the newest shit. And I'm extending even further. This very show, right? In the past, and I'm not chastising on your listeners, you guys, you know, we want to give you guys stuff. But in the past, we've tried to introduce kind of more evergreen type of topics. Every single time they fail, right? So it's just the way the industry, not just this industry, but all entertainment industry works. Nobody cares about old shit. They want new stuff. So there's not a shift to it. It's always been like that, you know? So, yeah. But as far as design goes, yeah, because think about it. They want these games to appeal to a mass audience, so they're going to make them easier. They're going to make them more visually appealing. You know, there are exceptions, obviously, you know, Demon's Souls and all that. But generally speaking, you pick up a game, you're going to be able to beat it, you know. But again, that's nothing new. That's been going on forever. I remember even in the Super Nintendo days, one developer was asked, like, how come these games are easier? And I was like, because we want people to fucking beat them. We spend so much time on this in these games, all this money, we want people to finish these things.
Yep. And that's the whole PlayStation era we grew up on
it. It was a PlayStation, you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
It was we grew up on these difficult, crazy, hard games. You know, maybe we wanted to, you know, sort of give people a little bit more empowerment as to, you know, hey, I actually finished the game.
Yeah.
They were following the arcade model. The arcade model was purposely hard so that way they could empty your wallet out.
And then developers realized, oh, we don't need to do this anymore.
Don't need to do it anymore.
But also, if you think about it this way, like, yeah, you don't actually need to do it so much because you sort of want people to continuously keep buying games.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
For an arcade, you want people to keep throwing money inside of the machine. But like if the person hasn't finished the game and the game's expensive, you know, like they're going to keep playing that one game, right? So you make them cheaper, you make them easier to play, and then people buy more games.
And you inject microtransactions into those motherfuckers, you know?
Yep.
And then the other thing I was going to say was, like, even back then with the PlayStation era, right, what was the PlayStation's tagline, right? This is separating the hardcore back, you know, those days, the hardcore from the new. Play in your world. No. Play in our world. Live in yours. It's saying, yo, you're just a regular dude. You're not a gamer. You're just a regular guy. But you want to play games, you come to us. You know, so even then they were making that distinction between the old school of that day and the new school, you know. So it's been going on forever, man. It ain't nothing new. You know,
nothing but a G thing,
babe. Exactly. All right, man. Let us move on to the. This was going to be the final question, but we got Xavier Spirit. He asked us a question, so we'll get to yours soon. Soon.
Sup, X Man?
Yeah, I like that name. It's very good name. All right. Another one from Mob Hits. All right. With the last game. Well, actually, let me sure I got the right Chiron here. Oh, no, I got the wrong one. Excuse me. Got to get the right one in there. The wrong one. I kind of got tripped up here because I was trying to get this question in there. So we'll get you, Bob Hits. It's about gaming conventions. Uh-oh. Controversy. Actually, not controversial at all. But I got, you know, we got to channel the spirit of Richard Bailey here. Whatever we need to. We got to get him back. Actually, we should have him on episode 350, you know.
Yeah. 350. It's coming soon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, next week, 350 episodes, man. Racy stuff. All right. Here we go. Okay.
Wait, next week?
Yeah. Thursday.
Oh, so don't we need to pimp up something for Throw Down Your Questions 350?
Oh, yeah, we are going to do that, aren't we? We'll do that at the end of the show. Well, thank you for reminding me. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. All right, with the last game convention, Tokyo Game Show, coming soon, do you expect any new news from the big three, or is it a wrap for the rest of the year? Keeley's Game of the Year Awards doesn't count because technically the shit he shows isn't coming anytime soon. Technically, everything we've seen this year isn't coming out anytime soon, dude. So that show is just as viable as TGS, just as viable as Gamescom, you know?
Season's going to feel empty.
Again, he's trying to keep us contained. No, I'm going to break away from that. We'll hear more news at TGS and the Jeff Keighley show, but don't expect those games to be coming out this year.
Yep.
That's a wrap. They're not all the games that are coming out this year have been announced. Like, unless it's a surprise, which we don't see anymore. That's it. Really much to say about that. That's it. You know, we're done for the year.
I think we might get something from...
We could get news for a game that's coming eventually, but not for this year, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So we will get news for upcoming games, but nothing for this year. Guarantee you that. I would be shocked, you know, if they go, oh, yo, Ninja Turtles actually dropping in October. They're not going to do that shit. I would go crazy, man.
I mean, we don't have an actual date. We just know sometime next year.
Yeah, right, exactly. It could be December 31st for all we know. But yeah, there's not really much more to say about that. I think we're done. I think we all agree on that. Like, this year, big announcements, we're pretty much done. All right, now the last question of the night. Xavier Spirit, all right. I'm not Southern, bro. I'm from New York. Do you really believe that WB won't sell off any more studios? Predict the next 5 years for them. I'm not predicting shit. I'm gonna tell you that right now. They might, you know, who knows? What studios did they sell off? Do we know? WB?
Well, the talks was that Microsoft was trying to buy up their studios, and they just passed on it. They said no, because they want to ride this Batman thing out, you know? So they're just going to keep going with this. So who knows? It all depends on the sales of all these new titles that they're introducing. Yeah. If they fail and they flop going into next year, then yeah, sure, everything's up for sale, like any business, you know? Like, hey, well, it didn't work out. Who wants in? Come on, throw me some numbers.
Yeah.
And then poof, it'll be gone.
Become an insider right now. He's trying to say that just make up shit. We don't do that. Throw it out, man.
No, because then people grab that shit and start spreading it. Yep. And be like, oh, these mofos said this,
and they will believe it too. Tony Pelago from YouTube. As soon as I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hate on nobody right now, but as soon as I hear blah 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 from YouTube said, I check out. I'm like, all right, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, I check out. So yeah, I mean, they could, again, we don't really have any information to speak on this, and we don't speculate on Throwdown without any, information. We don't have any information about this, you know, maybe they will, maybe they won't, who knows? Can't really say.
Yep. Will they, won't you, will they, won't you?
Yeah. Sorry. I know that's not a satisfactory. That's a word, right? Satisfactory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Satisfactory.
What do they have right now? Right. Let's look. Just look at what they have. They have Mortal Kombat. They have, Batman. They have that other game that just got
released. I'm sorry, satisfying. I don't like the word satisfactory. Satisfying.
What was that? I was just playing a WB game.
Yeah.
What the fuck was it?
WB sold Playdemic, and they said they aren't planning to sell any more studios.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they could say that. They could say that, but, you know.
They could say it. It all depends on sales. If things aren't selling well, then they're like, all right, well, I guess we should get out of this business. Yeah.
Who do they own? Do we know?
I just know the IPs they own. Yeah, I don't know the studios.
Like, they don't own Rocksteady, do they? Rocksteady's their own thing, aren't they?
Do they own Rocksteady?
I don't. I know they have WB Montreal. Yeah. Is the guys that are doing the some Batman games and stuff, right? Playdemic. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I mean, Playdemic, all they did was mobile games.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I could see why they're getting. They probably don't want to. The mobile market is not probably doing very well for them.
Okay, so it's from Wikipedia. Take it how you will. They own or have owned TT Games, who we just talked about at the top of the show. Rocksteady, NetherRealm Studios,
and we know that.
Yeah, Monolith Productions, WB Games Boston, Avalanche Software. they owned them, I guess, and WB Games Montreal. I want a list of current ones.
It's a game I just played that was...
Yeah, Traveler's Tale is long gone.
Yeah.
I just did a review on a fucking WB game. What the fuck?
I mean, Traveler's Tale is still around.
Back for Blood. Back for Blood. That's it. That's
WB. WB, yeah. That's Avalanche, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, TT Games is owned by them. It's owned by Warner Brothers. Okay, it seems like the list I read you guys is actually the current list. Yeah, TT Games, Rocksteady, NetherRealm, Monolith, WB Games Boston, Avalanche, and W Games Montreal. Oh, shit, WB Games New York, too. Yeah, they made, you know, it's, again, with these, with companies, you know, if a studio ain't making money, they will sell them. Especially it. EA. You already know how EA is, you know.
They'll either sell them or they'll just let them go.
Yeah.
Like, all right, go out there and do you.
Yeah, do you.
We own IPs. That's it. So good luck. Peace. Yeah. That's why it was very
They're not selling NetherRealm. Yeah, you're right, Kishak. They ain't not selling NetherRealms.
Like what we saw with Square Enix and IO Interact. Remember that whole thing with Hitman? That was weird. It's like they let him go and they sold him the Hitman IP. It's like they had no faith in IP at all. They were like, you know what? You how much you got? Run your pockets. How much you got? You got that's enough. That's the right number. Take the shit. Go. I'm like
Square Enix is weird, man. Like, that game, the first one sold 5 million and they considered it a flop.
Yeah.
The first Tomb Raider, it eventually sold more, but it initially sold 5 million in like 2 months. Like, this thing's a failure. I'm like, 5 million in 2 months is crazy good. What are you talking about?
At $60 a pop. Remember, 2 months. That's not on sale yet. 60 yeah, bucks.
60 bucks, you know? There was another game that I'm talking about recently where Square Enix considered it a failure. It's like, this game made a shit ton of money. What are you talking about?
It's, you know? It's whatever expectations or their money guy, whoever is setting these some ridiculous goals.
I was gonna call it like Torrance called the Deus Ex Dos Equis. Deus Ex, they're not doing nothing with it. Eidos, unfortunately, bring that shit back, man.
Sell it back to Warren Spector.
Yeah, right. That shit is crazy, man. All right, I think we're done here, people.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it, man. All right, a couple of things. Okay, like Carlo said. So, yeah, we're going to be having episodes 350 of both Throwdown and Throwdown Your Questions. I don't know if we're going to do anything special for 350. Probably have a couple of guests. Maybe a giveaway. We'll see what happens. You know, but for 350 of Throwdown Your Questions, Carlos's favorite is coming back. Throwdown AMA, man, coming back.
What?
Coming back. Only change this time is because we are not trying to do a 3.5-hour show. Limit you to 2 questions, but we want you to be creative. Don't ask us anything about gaming. Ask us other stuff, you know, like pop culture, life shit, whatever. You can ask us whatever you want for the next episode, but just keep it to 2. We used to do 3 per person, but that got too crazy. And some guys, even though we appreciate the way they were asking a shit that was too deep, you know. If you want that, that's cool, but those type of questions take a long time to answer, and we can't be having 50 million.
That one about condom size and preference. I'm like, yo, what the hell, man?
That was like this one dude was asking, like, yo, what do you see yourself in 10 years? Like, bro, just slow down with that, man. You know?
Good question.
Yeah. AMA special is coming back on Sunday. So ask us your non-gaming questions. Limit them to 2, please. And as far as plugs go, I'll go first. Bright Live, my second Bright Live session is coming up. I will be teaching journalists, prospective journalists specifically, how to pitch stories to editors. Man, a very important skill to have. You need to know that, the process, because, you know, you'll see it all in there, but you got to know, you know, the current trends going on. You got to figure out the right editors, the right outlets, all this other stuff. We're going to go right in there. It's going to be me and a guest. Was also one of my editors. You know, it's going to be really cool, an hour long, as we usually do on Bright. And tickets are available now if you want to check us out. $15. Keep it really, really cheap for you guys. Head over to Twitter at Romudeath. That's my Twitter at Romudeath. Literally the pinned tweet. Click on that. And I hope to see you guys or your friends there on Wednesday. It'll be really, really cool. All right. Man, do you have anything new to plug?
Nothing in the comics realm, but I did do a impromptu stream of Near Replicant today at around a little bit earlier today
on the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes, Rocket's still rocking that YouTube. So thank you for those of you who showed up for the episode. Whenever I feel like playing, you'll see me pop up on there.
Good stuff, Adam.
Oh, we got another episode of I Am Negan, The Walking Dead. So we cover Walking Dead there, not everything Walking Dead, Fear, Walking Dead proper. And anyway, so this was for season 11. This is the final season, episode 3, which airs September 5th. So we do a breakdown, a spoiler, and a discussion. Myself, Rich Bailey Jr., Carlos. And it was, it, I love Luke. The fact. Yeah, it's
a, yo, where's Ricardo at, bro? Carlos. Where's Ricardo at?
I updated the description, Carlos, and I lift you down also for Fear the Walking Dead. So you better come back so you could actually be like, you could start off the opening, the nuke, because that's what happened. We got these nuke bombs, and there we go. Then you can back out if that's all you want to say, and that's it. You will just make that. It's like, Baba Booey, the nuke.
Baba Booey. There we go.
So, yeah, go ahead if you don't care about spoilers, or if you want to watch it now, it's on AMC Plus. You could jump a week ahead. That's awesome that they've been doing that, you know, a full week. God damn. So, yeah, it's over on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and now on Amazon Music. So go ahead, check it out. I Am Negan. That is the name.
Go check it out, man. Go check it out. All right, people, we are done here, man. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord where it is always popping. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. And you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you've been watching this on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified when videos and live streams go up. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
And Brett Murdoch.
Deuces, everybody.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Episode 350 is coming later.
Peace.